Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. We've got some good information to tell you about books and where you can get great books and based on a biblical worldview. I'm going to give you the website before we dive in because I've got to do take care of some business first. It's mudhenmama.com. Mudhenmama, M-A-M-A.com. We're going to get to Michelle Laser in just a minute. But, you know, I get emails and I just don't know why I didn't think of sharing them with you. So I don't get a ton, but and they're mostly friendly. But I just want to share some of the emails we've been getting. It's just one. This is from Melody. She says, hello, been watching for a while. Enjoy your various guests and topics. Would you consider doing a program or two on the various Bible versions and their differences? Great idea for a topic. I would do that with one of my pastor friends. Thank you, Melody. I would go with New American Standard, New King James Version, and ESV. The Geneva Bible is also awesome. That was the first one, one of the first, or I think it may have been the first one brought to America, Geneva Bible, but I'll go with New American Standard as the one that I first purchased, and I still love that version. So, friends, we are now in our third year of producing Worldview Matters. We're amazed how it's gone. Praise God. New studio. Thank you, Jesus. But to continue speaking the truth and exposing evil, we depend on, first of all, your prayers, and then those who are able to give financially, your generous support. So right now, we're running a campaign for supporters to consider a tax-deductible gift. We're a 501c3, of course. $200, for example, would be great, or monthly partner, $25 a month. A lot of people do that. That's really a blessing. And as just a really small token of our gratitude, we'd love to send you our new stainless steel tumbler etched with "Keep Speaking the Truth About Things That Matter." That's my tagline. And on the other side, Worldview Matters, I've got mine right here. In fact, I think this was the first one out of the box a week or two ago, I think. Yep. So go to worldviewmatters.tv, worldviewmatters.tv, if you're able to give. But either way, thank you for your prayers and support and encouragement and emails, guest suggestions, topic suggestions. You know, I'm open. So praise God. So I want to bring in today's guest. Now, Michelle Laser. I love the last name. She's with mudhenmama.com. She's got an amazing story and just a phenomenal ministry and what she does there, getting great books into the hands of Christians, conservatives, those who want the truth, those who want to actually still read, which is just a lost art. You know, not that reading is an art. But Michelle, thanks for your time today. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me, David. I'm excited.
Yeah, so am I. Just found out you're in New Jersey. Our friend Matthew Mayer is from there. We're a regular guest here on the program. But you grew up in the Midwest. So I want to start with, you've been married for almost about 25 years. You have 10 children. So we have to start there. You and your husband met in college, and then you both came to Christ. Let's go back before we get into what you're doing at Mud Hen Mama, and we're going to talk about the name, too. Have you explained all that? Tell us about your family. Beautiful family.
Thank you. That was definitely us having 10 kids was not in our plan initially at all. We were not believers when we first met. And it was just the Lord. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, obviously, is the Lord. But it's actually an amazing story just because God is, he was just so faithful. We actually thought we were done after number four, who is actually a junior right now. I think I look at her and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that she was almost going to be the last one. And we had six more after her. So we actually were in Korea when we were in a Bible study. And we were having it was a Bible study with two other families. And it was, what's sort of funny is that the one family had five kids. I think she was pregnant with number five and I was pregnant with number four, but our kids lined up perfectly because they were all the same ages, but she had a set of twins. And so that was how, you know, the kids lined up anyway. Mm-hmm. So I remember asking her, you're done, right? Cause you know, you'd have to be crazy to have more than five kids. It's nuts. And she was like, I don't know. And I thought, That's so strange. Why would she say that, you know? And so we were, like I said, we were doing a Bible study, and it was Shepherding a Child's Heart, which is, I think, I always recommend that book. I think it's an amazing book that really helps. It really helped to not only strengthen me as a parent, but also just it's like help me to see, you know, how best to shepherd our children. I just think it's such an important book. Anyway, so when we were all discussing things, I realized that I didn't want to cut the Lord off. My husband and I talked a lot about it. We prayed, we, you know, kept going to scripture. And, you know, I think that the most important thing I always tell people, I don't think everyone needs to have 10 kids. I don't think that's the point, but I think the point is to be open-handed and to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Because I think we trust God in all areas of our life except for our children and how many children we're going to have. And so we felt that, you know, we wanted to just trust the Lord on it. And so we did. And so we were in Korea. When we went to Korea, we had two, and our children were 3 and 1. And then we were there for 9 years. It was such a blessing. Even getting to Korea was such a just crazy story that, you know, I was working. I really wanted to come home and be with my kids. And my husband was a teacher at the time, and there was no way we could swing it. We were living out in Alexandria, Virginia. It's very expensive for those of you who are familiar with the area. And so, but God put it on my husband's heart to go to look overseas. He had an experience in Hungary, and he loved it. And he was like, "I think we need to go overseas." My background is actually I was born in Puerto Rico, so I thought, "Hey, let's go to a Hispanic country. It'd be great. I can, you know, help my Spanish because my Spanish isn't so hot, and you know, that would be awesome." But as God would have it, we ended up the doors were all shut except for Korea. And it was the last place that I think either one of us would have expected to
Of
go to,
course.
because it was just, you know, we didn't have anything against it, but we certainly didn't have an affinity for it. There was nothing that was drawing us there, but the Lord did. And so we loved it. You know, it's funny because our kid, I'm like, I think my kids think they're more Korean than Puerto Rican, but because they just love all things Korean. And it's just, yeah, we had a really wonderful time in Korea. It was a huge time of growth for us. And so we ended up having four more children out in Korea. So you can imagine we were definitely the anomaly there. We had at the time we had six children when we finally ended up leaving. And then we came back to the United States. We ended up having number seven, so shortly after we arrived. And then we had twins a little while after that. So that was a humongous challenge. That was hard, hard, hard. It was a very humbling experience. I thought I had all my ducks in a row, and certainly nothing can challenge me because I already had, you know, so many children. I had seven children. But it was hard. So I'm so blessed that they're now 7 years old. So I could say, I can look back and say, you know, praise God. I don't remember a whole lot from the experience, but God was so faithful and he was so good. He just, you know, every day we got through it. And yeah, so now they're seven and our youngest is two. And I actually forgot to mention to you that our oldest daughter, she's married and she has a baby. So I'm a grandma, technically. So yeah, so the baby's 3 months, Melody's 3 months, and so that's amazing. It's sort of funny. So our youngest is actually closer in age to her than to her next oldest sibling.
Wow, it's amazing. So
So
you studied chemical engineering
I
and
did,
you
yeah.
ended up going to Korea. While you were there,
Yes.
I was reading your bio. While you were there, you started to homeschool. And I want you to explain something. You said you decided to homeschool, and that's when you discovered such a plethora of books that I would have never known about. And I think this is what brings us to Mud Hen Mama, is it not?
Yes. So our last year in Korea, we weren't sure what we were going to do. We thought, you know, maybe we actually thought we were going to stay international and ended up not working out. But because we weren't sure, we just wanted to, you know, well, if we were going to a difficult place and, you know, we wanted to be able to have that available just that, you know, we could still teach our kids and I would have some experience beforehand. So that was the plan. it ended up that I homeschooled for a year and a half. It was wonderful. I really wanted to continue to homeschool, but anyway, when we were homeschooling, it was like I discovered all of these wonderful books. Like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that there were all these great Christian books that, and historical fiction and all these books that, when you get the Scholastic Book Fair, flyers, those kinds of books aren't on there. And so I thought, this is something that I think would be really valuable for other Christian families to know about. And it was just sort of put in the back of my head. Like, this is something that maybe in the future, I could perhaps like share, but we'll see. So fast forward a few years. So, that was like maybe 2016, 2017. So 2020 happened. And that was a really difficult year for obviously for everyone, but it was just very, very eye-opening. And I thought to myself, this is there was just a lot of stuff that came out that really concerned me. And the little things like I had mentioned before, the Scholastic Book Fair, the flyers, I had noticed that, I mean, besides the fact that they didn't have the really meaty, good literature, I also noticed that it was just sort of, I mean, at least initially, it was more like just sort of junky. Like it wasn't really going to be helping our children to learn anything good or beautiful or anything like that. So I thought, I'm not going to order for like I want there to be a better resource than that. And so, but then when 2020 hit, it was more of like, wow, it's not just that it's, bad for you. It's actually like poison for you. I mean, I always compare it to, it's not just Cheetos for the brain. It's like poison for the brain. It's getting it had gotten to a point where just the indoctrination was becoming much more apparent. And so I thought, maybe this is a time to start offering something, just some sort of an alternative. So we only started with maybe, I don't even remember, I think it was between 50 and 75 titles, and just put them out there and tried to reach out to different schools to see if, hey, would your school be interested in having a small book fair and offering your families these books? And so as time went on, we obviously we expanded. We started off with, like I said, 50, 75 books, something like that. And we were focusing more on children's books, but then we expanded it because, we really thought it was so important to not only, I mean, obviously we need our kids to have really good books to available for them to read, but we also wanted those books to be available for like good books for our parents, because parents are the ones that are going to be feeding into their kids, and they need to understand what's happening. So that was something else that I had noticed in 2020, is that, all this stuff was happening in the culture and no one was talking about it. And I thought, why? Why aren't we talking about this? And it's so important. A lot of things had been, on my radar. I had read a lot about Bodhi Bauckham is amazing, and I've known about him for years. And he was one that had he so the ethnic Gnosticism, like all that stuff, like that was I understood all of that, but I didn't realize how it had infested into the culture as much as it did. And so I thought, we need to be able to help the parents not only understand what's happening, to know what's happening, but to understand what to do about it from a biblical worldview, because the churches weren't doing it. And so I figured, this would be a great way. You're giving your kids great books, so why don't you give yourself some and just learn about what's happening and learn what to do about it from a biblical worldview, from a biblical perspective, ways in order to know how to approach a lot of these issues. So that was essentially what what we wanted to do with Mudhen Mama. We also wanted to offer families, the standard was essentially we want books that are good, beautiful, and true. And so that's what we try to do. We try to have books that obviously there's a lot of books that share the gospel, but not all of them do. All of them are, though, sharing something that's good, beautiful, and true. And I think we know that the truth, all truth is God's truth. And so that's why we wanted to expand it to not just be, quote unquote Christian books, but they're, going to be a lot of different books. Like a lot of classic books don't necessarily speak the name of Christ, but they're really good books that teach us something about Christ in one way, shape, or form. So
Okay, when we come back with Michelle, we're going to find out what a mud hen actually is, And then we'll also talk about a little bit more about that transition you made in 2020, because you had this idea to do online Christian book fairs. And because a lot of people are doing COVID, I mean, online learning during COVID, and unfortunately, a lot of kids were, you know, still tapping in the public school system, getting their education that way. You're not going to get the right information. So to do these Christian book fairs to get the great books out there, I think most of our audience is all for that. But we'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kah, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Yes, and we're still waiting to hear from one prominent speaker that I'm hoping it will work out that he can make that. But anyway, it's going to be at the Delta Hotel by Ramada in Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd next year. We're looking forward to that. I will tell you a lot more about it, and these guests will be on the podcast again as the months progress here, as we get into a new year coming up. So, Michelle, Mud Hen, I mean, that's not something a lot of people understand. Oh, Mud Hen, what's a Mud Hen Mama? So just briefly, I know time's going by fast with you. How did you come up with the name?
So when I was homeschooling, I had a couple of books that were sort of like reference books, and they've been sitting there for a long time. But I was trying to rack my brain, like, okay, what am I going to name this? Like, I knew I had some ideas, but a lot of the names had been taken, or it just didn't sound right. So I was praying and praying about it, and the Lord sort of directed me to go look at those books and just see if there was something in there. So I was flipping through and I came across the American Coot. And the nickname for an American Coot is called a Mud Hen. Uh-huh. And what the Mud Hens do is when they perceive that they're getting attacked, or, you know, they see an enemy, they come together and they squawk at the enemy. And I was like, that's exactly what I'm trying to do with Mud Hen Mama, or with my business, is to get parents together, get families together, to be able to, you know, just let people know, like, hey, this is going on and we need to protect our kids and we need to come together and help each other, help one another, you know, protect us from what's happening. And so, yeah, so that's where Mud Hen Mama comes from.
And you, from the information you sent me, each of the over 1,300 books have been vetted to be sure that anyone who comes to purchase books from you guys will know that they're from a biblical worldview. But explain to me, elaborate on this a little bit. You said, I realized how important it was to empower families to understand not only what we're facing as a society, but also how to face it from a biblical worldview. Explain that a little bit, Michelle, and how reading books like this help.
Well, maybe it's just because it was more personal to me, but I know that, you know, I don't, it's just hard to keep up with everything that's happening. And, you know, and that's me who I feel like I'm always listening to podcasts and trying to find out what's happening, but not everyone has that time. And mm-hmm. So I think, you know, like I had mentioned before, it's important to understand what is happening. And a lot of parents, a lot of families, I think, are just, they're either oblivious or, you know, like, they just don't want to know and they think everything's going to blow over. I remember having those conversations with people and just thinking to myself, like, I don't think this is going to blow over. And I think that we need to discuss this. So it's not just being aware. I mean, like I said, there are some parents that are oblivious. There's some parents or some families that think, well, yeah, I know this is happening, but it's no big deal. And, you know, my kids will find out eventually, you know, how to navigate this. But so I think we need to just be clear to Christian families in particular that, hey, this is not just, it's not just happening, but like, I'm sorry. The other thing that I was going to say is that I think that sometimes parents also, like, they may know what's happening, but then they get frozen. They don't know exactly what to do. And maybe that's why they don't want to discuss it with their families or with their children or with each other, whatever, with other families.
Yeah.
And I've definitely come across that as well. And so I think this is just a really good way in order to, like, help empower them. Like, say, hey, this is how you can navigate this. This is, other people have talked about this already. And, you don't have to feel bad about certain things. You don't have to feel bad about, your skin color. You don't have to feel bad about how God made us, or I mean, there's like a gazillion different topics that we do try to cover. But anyway, just but to do it from a biblical worldview, because we don't need to have, there are a lot of people that will, we look at the same issues, and a lot of people will say one thing and a lot of other people will say another thing, but we need to have an understanding from a biblical worldview. And so we try to gather up books that were doing that will help the families to be able to not only know what's happening and to see what's happening and to be aware of it, but then also, okay, well, what do I do about it? How do I go about, figuring out tech and how social media and how do we combat this, and what should we do, what should we not do? Just all those questions that I know personally I have. I mean, we have kids literally in like every age group, and so I understand all of the different issues, that kids are having. So, we've tried to include all those kinds of books, so that like I said, not just for children, but also for parents as well, because it's so important. I think parents, they just need to know. And it's just, I think it's getting a little bit better that, there are churches that are talking a lot about these issues, but I think still it's very sparse, and I don't think it's enough. And so, yeah, so we just have to encourage parents, like, hey, these are great books. Spend the time, even if it's 10 minutes a night. I mean, that's where I'm ending up nowadays, is just a little, Rome wasn't built in a day. So you just read a little bit every night, and it's amazing what you can get through.
Yeah, you said you think it's getting a little better. Thank you for your optimism. But then you said, but you don't think it's enough. Understatement, because I mean, we have people from all around the country touch base with us, and I have guests from different parts of the country, and we kind of tap into the pulse of what's going on. And if pastors aren't teaching their congregations, and how are Christians in church going to get it if they're not doing it at home, if they're not teaching their kids at home, if they're not reading the right books? And as you said, there's programming going on that I think I'm quite a bit older than you even. I didn't have to deal with when I was growing up, in the 60s or the 70s. And kids, what they have to deal with today, and they're getting bombarded from all angles. So we need this kind of good information, biblically based information, books, education, training, equipping, encouragement from other Christians. I want to give you an opportunity, Michelle, to just share a little bit about your website. I see a tab for book fairs. I also see frequently asked questions. So wherever you want to go right now, we've got 5 minutes left.
Okay, well, something that we're trying to promote a lot right now is the book Family Book Savings Club. That's something that I think could be really valuable, because I think, I'm not saying anything really all that surprising to say that everyone's busy. And what we're trying to offer to families is a way to get books into their children's hands that are have been vetted. And it's you can get it depending on the size of your family or how many books your kids read. You can get books sent to your home every month, and we try to customize it. So if your kids like, a certain genre of books, then we send those kinds of books to you. And that's actually for, we have this available for children, for little children, teens, or for adults. So yeah, so that's something that we're trying to encourage families to look into, because it's just an easy way to be able to help children to just get some great books into their hands. I mean, the garbage that is in so many libraries, it's insane. Like, you can't even, I know that I've even been to the library and brought home a book only to discover it's, something that's, they're trying to normalize, two dads or two moms or whatever. And this is, and I'm looking at the book. It's not as if I'm not. By the time I bring it home and I'm reading it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that
And
this is
kids
there.
are reading this, right?
Yes,
And that's what's
children.
sad.
Yeah, I mean, they're.
I'm glad you mentioned libraries. We're down to just 3.5 minutes, Michelle. Libraries, I think a lot of parents, I mean, this kind of went under the radar on how the libraries became, well, you know, they have awful books. I mean, somewhat pornographic, all pro-LGBTQ, a lot of anti-biblical worldview, anti-Christian, lot of books that have no business being in young kids, you know, children's hands, let alone, you know, there for anybody to look at. So this is a problem. And then we saw the drag queen story hours in public libraries, and people just were not connecting the dots to how we got there. So in the last couple of minutes, just share a little bit more about your concern about libraries and whatever you else want to tackle right now.
Sure. I know that actually I had done a little bit of research on this for specifically the LGBTQ issue. And it's pretty amazing. In the last 10 years, there's been an increase anywhere between, I mean, I've seen numbers from 400 to 900% increase in the amount of LGBTQ titles. So, I mean, it's just amazing. And you know, often the cover, you would not know. You wouldn't know that there's something that's been in there, that's been put in there. But again, it's just normalizing what should never be normalized. And so we have to, I just think that we just have to be so careful. And even when we are careful, things slip in. I mean, yeah. I know that we had one of my children was reading a book. It was the Wings of Fire series. I don't know if you're familiar with that series, but all my kids love them. And then my one daughter, my number four, who we thought was the last one, she was reading one of the books. And she was like, "Mom, is this what I think it is?" And I looked at the book and I was like shocked that for no reason, they just threw in a lesbian relationship. Oh. And, it's one of those things that, oh, you think you're okay because the first few books are fine. Why would there be anything that's introduced? But they will slip it in. And so, we really try to be as careful as possible vetting the books so that you don't have to worry about that. That, you know, if there's something questionable, you know, we pull the book, or, you know, if it somehow got through, we pull the book. But in general, we try just to not have it on there at all. And
thank
so,
you.
That's why I think that the family subscription is really helpful, because, you know, it's just your children. It's like you get to build your own home library, which I think would be, like, you know, very, very helpful. And as you get more memberships, you get more of a percentage off. So,
Michelle, I think a lot of people are going to want more information, I'm hoping, and that this podcast gets out there. But to get a hold of you, is the best way to go to the Contact Us, and that will go to you, and you'll be able to respond.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so, friends, again, mudhenmama.com. Very important. And this is, my goodness, books. Bring them back. Bring back books. You know, kids don't even read as much as they used to, but and parents have something to do with that. But here we are. We've got opportunities to support something like this. We appreciate your time today. It went by fast. Thank you for all that you're doing and sharing. And God bless you and
Thank
your family,
you.
Michelle. Good to spend time with you today.
Thank you so much, David.
You're most welcome. All right, friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.